Jerry Bader Show, 1049. I'm toying with something. I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not sure if I'm going to have the time to do the work. I'm taking a huge chunk of vacation around Christmas time. It's a use it or lose it scenario. The whole building here in Green Bay practically is going to be empty. Jason, you're going to be gone for a chunk of that. I'm going to be gone from December 23rd until back on January 2nd. Longest I've ever taken. We have a mix of fill-ins planned. Well, two. I shouldn't say a mix. Now, it's a combination of Seth Mila and Chris Conley from Wausau. I'm toying with something for the Christmas Eve show, which would not require a fill-in. I just don't know. I don't know when I would get it done. A Christmas music special, because I love Christmas music. No, I would not make it All Mannheim Steamroller. I wouldn't. I would even accept your input on it, Jason. I would. It'd be a hell of a lot more Mannheim Steamroller than you would put. I concede that, because you would put none. One. You would go with your token one. That's classic discrimination, you know? You've got that token Mannheim Steamroller song. I'm going to think about this over the weekend, okay? Because what I would do, Jason, I would actually introduce them. I would talk, you know, I would do a music show. It stuns people. I've done music radio. We do this off the air for the most part. But when Jason plays a classic rock cut, if it's one I know really well, what we in the industry call hit the ramp. I talk right up to the vocals. It stuns people that I actually did music radio in my life. Not very long. I got fired from a news job, and dude, I took whatever job I could. It was just part-time in college. And I spun the old stuff. Doris and Frankie and Dean and that sort of stuff. Back in the early 80s, the format was called Music of Your Life. Not my life. Music of my parents' life. You do what you do. Yeah, isn't that funny? You do what you got to do. I had an apartment in college. I needed a job. By the way, I learned a lot. Not what my employer was trying to teach me, but I learned a lot in that job. I really did. I will take this weekend to ponder that. And it's not that I'm too lazy, not entirely, that I'm too lazy to do it. It's about 30% that I'm too lazy and 70% that it would take time. I don't want to do it badly. I want to do it well if I do something like that. And Jason, I'm talking about going in the production room and doing the whole thing. I don't know. It's one of those things, you know, it's like when someone invites you to a party or something and you put it on the calendar and then the date comes. Oh, is that tonight? And not that you don't want to see those people, but you've already got into your sweats and, oh, is that tonight? That's kind of how I'm feeling about this. That I feel like what I've got 18 days from today to do this. And I want to sit here and say, oh, yeah, that's plenty of time. And then it's going to be, oh, crap. And I don't have it done. Kind of like, or like that college term paper, you know, where, well, it seemed like I had all semester to do this. What happened? In the time that I have left, I want to share something with you that is actually, it's from Kim Strassel's Potomac Watch column in the Wall Street Journal that runs on Fridays. But this is actually from last Friday. And I didn't get to it. It's a keeper, though. I want to share it now. You want to talk about government intrusion. Strassel, piano sonata in FTC minor. Wait till you hear this. Teddy Roosevelt busted Standard Oil. The Obama administration, it's making the world safe from rapacious piano teachers. Every month, it seems, brings a new story of this presidency leveling the intimidating powers of the federal government against some law-abiding citizen. Now comes a terrifying tale of how the Federal Trade Commission, a governmental Goliath, crushes an average David because it can. In March of this year, a small nonprofit in Cincinnati, the Music Teachers National Association, received a letter from the FTC. The agency was investigating whether the association was engaged in anti-competitive practices. The Music Teachers National Association. Yes, we've got to trust bust those bad boys. This was bizarre, given that the MTNA has existed since 1876 solely to advance the cause of music study and support music teachers. The 501c3 has about 22,000 members, nearly 90% of them piano teachers, including many women who earn a modest living giving lessons in their homes. The group promotes music study and competitions and helps train teachers. Not exactly U.S. Steel. The association's sin, according to the feds, rested in its code of ethics. You're not going to believe this if you haven't heard this. The code lays out ideals for members to follow, a commitment to students, colleagues, society. Tucked into this worthy document was a provision calling on teachers to respect their colleagues' studios and not actively recruit students from other teachers. Don't go poaching. Just a gentle person's agreement. That's a common enough provision among professional organizations, doctors, lawyers. Yet the FTC avers that the suggestion Miss Sally not poach students from Miss Lucy was an attempt to raise prices for piano lessons. Given that the average lesson runs about $30 an hour and that some devoted teachers still give lessons for $5 a pop, this is patently absurd. MTNA Executive Director Gary Engel, who has been at the organization 17 years and who agreed to talk when I reached out about this case, said that he and the group's attorneys immediately flew to Washington to talk to federal investigators. They explained that this provision had been in the group's code for years and that it was purely aspirational. The association has never enforced it. No member has ever been removed as a result of it. The FTC didn't care, nor did it blink when the MTNA pointed out that the agency has no real authority over non-profs. It's largely limited to going after sham organizations, and the Congress has never acted on the FTA's request for more control over 501c3s. Nor was the agency moved by the group's offer to immediately excise the provision. The investigation would continue. With a dozen employees and a $2 million budget, the group didn't have the resources to fight the federal government, Mr. Engel says. The board immediately removed the provision from its code, but the MTNA staff still had to devote months compiling thousands of documents demanded by the agency, some going back 20 years. Reports, the organization's magazines, everything Mr. Engel had ever written that touched on the code. Mr. Engel estimates he spent hundreds upon hundreds of hours since March complying with this federal colonoscopy. This October, MTNA signed a consent decree. Its contents, as ludicrous as the investigation, the association did not have to admit or deny guilt. It must, however, listen to this. Listen what they have to do. It must, however, read a statement out loud at every future national MTNA meeting event warning members against talking about prices or recruitment. It must send this statement to all 22,000 members and post it on its website. It must contact all of its 500-plus affiliates and get them to sign a compliance statement. The association must also develop a sweeping antitrust compliance program that will require annual training of its state presidents on the potential crimes of robber baron piano teachers. Are you kidding me? And what happened is I really wanted to do this one. And then it was the day after Thanksgiving and we had so many other things. I didn't get to it. And then it's been sitting on my desk all week. What is it about this administration that its agencies target, I'll say it, the weak? Can you imagine if President George W. Bush was in office when the FTC did this? Music teachers, going after music teachers. It's 10:58. You are just 8 minutes from Rush. Stay warm and have a lovely weekend, won't you?
Jerry Bader Show.